Good morning.
We welcome all of you who are worshiping with us today. Just to check on the microphone, can you all hear? Last Sunday, I understand it was kind of soft, so we turned it a little louder, and I think this is about as loud as it gets, so. Oh, well. A few announcements before we begin. Luann Domes is on her mission trip to Malawi, and on our webpage, I think Dan will probably say a little bit more about this, so I'll leave it up to him. Next Sunday, the barbershop chorus will be singing beginning at a couple minutes before 9. We might try starting like 2 or 3 minutes until 9 to give them a little extra time on their journeys for next Sunday. So we invite you all to be here. They'll be singing at the beginning of the service for about 10 minutes. Okay. A reminder for us to remember the Benki family in Japan. And in the July newsletter, again, there's a story of their activities. I encourage all of you to not only read what it has to say about their ministry there, but also remember them in your prayers. In the entryway, there's a clipboard in case of anybody who'd like to help on the worship team, to choose the hymns, plan the worship, things like that. Or if anybody would like to be a worship assistant, to also sign on that sheet. Dan Tai would like to say something and present a survey.
Thank you, Pastor. First, I'll mention, continue on what he mentioned about Luann. Luann has put a very exciting, interesting video of a small group of the Malawi friends she ran into singing for them, and we're going to try to play that for you on the TV in the fellowship hall after the service. Those of you who haven't, some of you have already seen it on Facebook, but unfortunately, there's no way we can put it from Facebook onto the church website. And this way, anyone who'd like to, we'll try to play that a couple times in the fellowship hall for you after the service. As many of you know, Christ Lutheran is now moving toward calling a new pastor with a clear goal of having a call committee functioning by the end of this summer. Your transition team is urging you to complete 3 surveys so this progress can continue to a successful conclusion. And now I would like those who are here on the transition team to stand up so that at the end of the service, if you still have any questions about this survey, you can ask one of them, although Mary may be kind of busy for a while. Thank you. These surveys provide essential information needed to create our ministry profile, which is a key document required by the Synod and describes the Christ Lutheran to potential pastors. This is your chance to help determine the future direction of this body of Christ. So please complete all 3 of the surveys. We have some extra copies of the one last week if you weren't able to complete it on the internet or last week. So you could just ask those. Those are up on the audio cabinet. We also have copies of the one for next week if you happen to not know that you won't be here and you want to complete one. The survey 3 is available. This, you may find it easier to complete all 3 of the surveys online by computer or smartphone through the links on our Facebook page or website. Roughly 60 to 70% of the surveys already completed have been completed that way. So if you do not have internet access, don't be left out. Get one of these and fill it out. Thanks to those who've already completed the surveys. Otherwise, please complete one of the surveys the ushers are handing out and they'll be handing them out right now. If you've already completed all three, just pass the survey along. If you haven't completed this one, take one, and by the end of the service, try to go through it and complete it. We urge every Christ Lutheran member in our family, in your family or household, to complete the surveys. Additional copies of all three surveys are available in the office or online. You can print them from online as well as take them. Two separate links. Only surveys submitted, this is important, before July 18th will be tabulated. Survey number 3 will be available in the worship service next week if you want to complete it then. This survey number 2 asks about the gifts for ministry or characteristics you think our next pastor should possess. Please choose 5 of the ministry gifts listed as the top priority gifts you believe our next pastor should possess. Choose only 5, and that I believe that's the left-hand column. Then, after you've selected those 5, please select the next most important ministry gifts you believe are very helpful. This does not mean that you think the pastor should not have other gifts listed, just that you believe the 5 you selected are most important or next most important. Mark only 1 oval per row. In other words, don't mark them as both important and next most important. So, I, if you have any questions, please ask them of the folks who stood up there when, and they'll be wandering around at the end of the service. And, of course, there are pencils in the pews with the communion cards. Thank you.
Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join in singing, Our Father, We Have Wondered. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love.
Amen.
Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us share the peace of Christ that we have through his forgiveness with one another. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Barb. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Arden. Peace be with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. You are great, O God, and greatly to be praised. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant that we may believe in you, call upon you, know you, and serve you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading comes from Zechariah, the 9th chapter. There is a promise of the end of war and world peace, and we see that glimpse in Jesus, and we continue to pray, "Thy will be done." There is an interesting phrase at the end of the reading that you might think about during this next week. prisoners of hope. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. And as for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 145 responsively, the congregation with the dark print. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord is gracious,
all your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your faithful ones shall bless you. That all people may know of your power and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down. The second reading is from Romans. A Presbyterian pastor was talking with a Jewish friend who said to him, "Why should I worship a dead Jew?" And the pastor's answer was, "Jesus isn't dead, he's alive, and he's living in me." A few weeks later, he wrote the hymn that many of us know, "He Lives." Well, that hymn points out a very important fact, and that is that Jesus lives in all of his followers, but also in us lives sin. And Paul points that out in his reading, some words which I think most of us could utter today. "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alive. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 11. Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated.
Come up. Do you want to come up? You want to come up for a children's message? Come on down. Good morning. It's a small group, but it's a group. Right? Come on up. Hi there. Good morning. What's your name?
A-I-S.
It's A-I-S? Okay, good deal. Come have a seat. Come have a seat with me. So, I have a question. Did you know a whole bunch of stuff when you were born, when you were just a little tiny baby?
Oh.
Did you know how to do all sorts of things? Like, how about tying your shoes? When you were just born and a little tiny baby, did you know how to tie your shoes? Yeah, you did already? Holy cow, he is smart. I like it. How about you? I know you didn't. How about walking? Did you know how to walk already when you were just born, a little tiny baby?
Yeah.
Do you have a little sister or brother back there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rocking is my dad.
Yeah, rocking. Does your little brother or sister know how to walk yet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? How about you? Did you walk yet? Did you know that stuff? Man, we don't know a whole lot when we are just born, do we? There's not a lot. We need to learn lots of things, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to learn lots of things. How about reading? Can you read?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can read already. How about you? Snap words, sure, you know some words, but now last year, if you think a whole year back, did you know those same words? It was hard,
but,
right?
But my dad read it back, I don't read.
That's right, our grown-ups help us learn those things, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Learning is really important. But now, when we read in Matthew today, it says that Jesus is already revealed. That means that we already know him the day we're born, right away. Guess what? You might not be able to tie your shoes, but you already know who Jesus is. Isn't that pretty cool?
Yeah.
So of all the things that we don't know when we are born, one thing that we do know is Jesus. He's already with us. That's pretty neat. Then, as we grow up, it also tells us that we get to go to Jesus and we get to see and talk with him and learn more about him.
But my dad read a...
He's going to read some more to you, right? And help you learn more.
But he told me a ghost story.
He told you a ghost story? Oh, man. Oh, man. Were you scared?
No.
No, me neither. Me neither. So, as we get to grow older, we get to learn new things. But the pretty cool thing is we already know Jesus, no matter how much we know of other stuff. Pretty cool. Right? Should we go head back?
Yeah.
All right.
Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, when I was serving as pastor down in Alton, Illinois some years ago, close to St. Louis, our son and his family came to visit us one weekend, and our oldest granddaughter, who was then 3, during the service she looked at either mother or father, I don't remember which, and said to them, "What's Grandpa doing up there pretending to be the pastor?" I hope she didn't tell that to one of the council members, or they might have checked out my credentials. I don't know. The congregation at present, Christ Lutheran Church, is looking for a pastor. What kinds of things will you be looking for? As Dan explained, there are all kinds of surveys trying to find some ways of sharing with one another, with both those who might want to serve or would like to serve in a congregation like Christ Lutheran Church, but also the congregation sharing from their perspective how they see themselves. What would you like to see in a pastor? Not always easy to know, is it? After the transition team has completed its work with the surveys, and then the call committee is formed and they take on the load from there, receiving information also from the synod and sitting down and working through that and praying that the Holy Spirit will somehow lead and guide the process and lead someone to be called by the congregation and someone to accept that call and to come and serve as your next pastor. In the gospel reading that we have for today, we're presented with two candidates, two different styles of ministry. One is John the Baptist and the other is Jesus. And they're quite different, right? John the Baptist set up his office or his pulpit out in the wilderness next to the Jordan River. He didn't come to Jerusalem where all the people were and preach from the street corners. But rather, he went out into the wilderness and waited for the people to come to him. And when they came to him, he didn't try to win them over with kind words, but rather he challenged them, looked them straight in the eye and said to them, "You need to repent. You need to ask for forgiveness for your sin. You need to be baptized. And beyond that, there's somebody coming after me who's even going to be worse than I am, harder on you than I am, because he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." John didn't care who he talked to. He challenged them all the same way. And so he went to King Herod and he said to him, "And you have sinned against God in that you have married your brother's wife." The king didn't like hearing that. So he had John thrown into prison. While he's in prison, John keeps an ear out for what he hears about Jesus' ministry. in Galilee. And finally he gets so intrigued that he sends some of his disciples to Jesus and ask, Jesus, are you the one that I was talking about? I don't hear anything about this fire. Are you really the Messiah or not? And Jesus sends his disciples back to John. And maybe John is thinking, you know, Jesus, if you really are the Messiah, why haven't you gone to King Herod and tell him to get me out of here? Jesus didn't lift a finger to get John out of prison. And the message he sends back to John the Baptist is, look and see what my ministry has been about. And then he lifts off a few things. The blind can see. The lame can walk. Those are the evil spirits. The evil spirits have been cast out. The dead have been raised. And he says, and the poor have had good news preached to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. We hear those words and the tone of them is completely different than the tone of the words of John the Baptist. Instead of waiting for the people to come to him as John did, Jesus is the one who goes to the people. The story we have of, you know, that he told about the shepherd and the sheep, you know, of one that got lost. And he leaves the 99 and that shepherd goes and searches until he finds that lost sheep and brings it back to the flock himself and rejoices. He doesn't point the finger at the sheep and say, why did you go get lost? You need to repent. But rather, he lovingly picks up that sheep and brings it back to the flock. To the children, Jesus sits down and says, let the little children come to me. The kingdom of heaven is of you, for you. You are a part of it. When a woman is caught in the very act of adultery, Jesus says to her, where are the people who condemn you? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. In our reading for today, Jesus talks about taking our yoke upon him. He says, come to me, all you who are burdened down, and I will give you rest. Take that yoke upon you. There certainly were many different kinds of yokes that were used back at Jesus' time. One kind that we could imagine being used today, I don't know if any of you ever used something like this, would be like a stick, a yoke that a person would wear over their shoulders, and you could have like a pail of water on each side. I don't know if anybody's ever used anything like that, but if you've got to carry a pail of water with one hand, it's kind of uneasy, kind of hard to do. But it's easier if you pick up two pails of water. And so with a yoke like that, you could put two pails of water on the end of that stick of the yoke, and it's easier to carry that yoke. Or if you've got two oxen, and I don't know how many of the people that Jesus shared his parables with had a pair of oxen, that would show you probably were rather wealthy. But the yoke that was put on the oxen, one of those oxen has more strength than the other. Perhaps one of them has more strength at the beginning of the day, kind of young and feeling its oats and wants to take off and pull with all it can. But then as the day wears on, the strength of that ox begins to dwindle. And then it's the time for that other ox to pull the heavier load. And so it is for us as members in a congregation. There are some times in the history of the congregation or history of our lives when we're the ones with all that energy and we're pulling the load because we can, and we get involved in many things. But then there comes a time in our life too where we begin to slow down. We don't have the strength we used to, and it's time for us to pull back a little. We're still there, but we rely on someone else to do more of the pulling. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. Jesus doesn't say that we're going to get by in life without a burden to carry or with a yoke. Just a few chapters earlier, Jesus reminded his followers once again, take up your cross and follow me. And that's where the passage that we heard before from Romans comes into play in our life. There are lots of burdens that we carry in our life, and one of them is the burden of sin. And we find it becomes a heavy burden because even though we have been baptized, even though our faith is in Jesus Christ, there is that tension within us that we are at the same time a saint and also a sinner. And there are those things that we know to be right, but for some reason we find ourselves doing what we know to be wrong. Losing weight. The doctor has told me a long time ago, I need to lose weight. And I know it's right. And the doctor has always put on it, if you don't lose weight, this is what's going to happen. I agree. I don't deny it at all. And I set myself out, okay, now I'm going to do it. And I go through a couple of days, maybe even a week. And then for some reason, I could give you all the reason. For some reason I say to myself, yeah, but this time I'm going to let myself eat more than I want. And not just a little bit, maybe a whole bunch more. And so there's that wrestling going on throughout our life. And we could use that with so many different things in our life. But it's a wrestling that will go on until we die. Now, why are we saved? Because we've finally taken control of our life. No, by God's grace. By God's grace alone. And so it is that we're here today to hear that good news again. To hear the news that Jesus is the one who loves us. In John the Baptist's message, do you hear love? That he really cared for the people. Maybe he cared for the people in the way that he realizes if they keep going on the way they're going, it's going to be bad news for them. Whereas the message that Jesus has for us, I take you where you're at today. And you may be at that same place tomorrow. And you may have messed up. But I love you, and I care for you, and I have died for you. And that's what fills us with joy. That's why we can leave this gathering this morning rejoicing. And the last hymn that we have for this morning is Shine, Jesus, Shine. And we pray that God's love will continue to shine on us in the days ahead. Amen. May the peace of God, which goes far beyond our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us rise and join in singing our next hymn. Those who are joining our congregation today to please come forward. I guess the two of, oh, Kathy, you want to come forward? I guess the two of you are yoked together today as well. We have with us today Jack and Nala Sampson. Maxine Cole is not able to be with us today, but she too is received as a member of our congregation. So we basically have two jobs to do this morning. First, ask you if you want to be a member, and then we'll ask the congregation if they want you to be a member. Uh-oh. Jack and Marlis, as children of God, as Jesus' dear little ones, do you wish to be a member of Christ Lutheran Church?
We sure do.
Do you, members of Christ Lutheran Church, Do you wish to receive Jack and Marlis as your brother and sister in Christ, to remember them in prayer, and to give thanks to God for them? Go in peace.
Thank you, Pastor.
Okay. This morning with the creed, we'll do it in a little different way. We'll have you do it sitting. And as you say the creed, ask that you would turn halfway toward the people on the other side of the aisle. A creed is basically a confession, right? And it's a bold confession that we make to one another that this is what we believe. So if you would please face people on the other side and let's say the creed to one another. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And we as a congregation are offered the opportunity to say thank you to God through our offering. Please rise. Let the vineyard be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather the harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and the dreams of all. Unite them with the prayers we offer now. Raise our table with your presence and give us a taste of the feast to come. Merciful God, you open wide your hand and satisfy the need of every living thing. You have set this feast before us, the feast of your word. Open our ears to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Today in our prayers, we remember the leaders of the nations who have gathered in Germany these days. May they continue to look for ways and live a deep desire for justice and concern for the good of all people. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you, O God, for the rain and the sunshine. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards of the earth. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who are enslaved by drugs of all types. We pray for their families as well, that they all might be set free. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for families or who have or are facing divorce. May there be healing for all. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our new members, Jack, Marlis, Maxine. May your Holy Spirit work within them and through them to bring blessing to many. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who are sick and in need of your special care. We remember Kathy Falk, Joyce Johnson, Gordon and Carolyn Hemming, Lexi Groh, Lavera Larson, Mary Catherine, Maxine Larson, Ray Millett, LaVon Swanson, Sam Zander. Lord, in your mercy. We rejoice with those families that have increased through the birth of a child. Jason and Sarah Koger on the birth of Rhett Richard. And we also rejoice with Mark and Stephanie Butler on the birth of Libby May. Lord, in your mercy. For these and many other people, many other issues that we carry in our hearts, we offer them to you, O Lord, in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. For our last hymn, we turn to number 671 in the hymnal, Shine, Jesus, Shine. go in peace. The Spirit sends us forth to serve.